We continue to survey the Gospel of Luke. And this morning we continue that survey. We're coming off the excitement of Jesus preaching. Remember, he's preaching from Simon Peter's boat. And he calls them out into that. He's preaching from the boat. And from that boat, there's a great number of fish caught. He calls them to be fishers of men. It's beyond the miraculous work. It's beyond these things. And he looks into the heart and he asks these men to follow, as we are called to follow, linking arms with Jesus, proclaiming his good news and his kingdom, the good news that we proclaim today, that by trusting in Jesus, the old has passed away and the new life has come. And in that call of obedience that we continue today, we continue today into a couple of separate accounts of healing and forgiveness, where Jesus transforms, and this is the word that continued to come up as I would read this, is brokenness. Jesus transforms brokenness to belonging through healing, through forgiveness, and in community. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me as we open. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the seasons all around us. Continue to remind us of who you are and your sovereign power, God. The seasons in nature, the seasons in life. Lord, we come before you this morning that we open your word, that we would be sensitive to your spirit leading in our lives, just as it was to these original observers and then hearers of the word, God. We thank you for your truths. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to make your way to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to continue on. We ended off with verse 11 of chapter 5 last Sunday. And we're going to continue on with verses 12 to 26. And this is where I will begin reading, in verse 12. Jesus cleanses a leper, 5 verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. But he would draw to desolate places to pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some of the men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. And they let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? What is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Wow. What an amazing account. Again, we're here in this area of Galilee. And you'll see up there, again, we're in this little place called Capernaum, there on the Sea of Galilee, last week. And they continue on there. They don't say the specific location, but as we look in the Gospel of Mark as kind of a cross-reference, which gives a little bit more detail and location, we see that Jesus continues to teach and heal in Capernaum. In Luke 5:12 to 26, what we just read, here's a little recap. Jesus heals a man with leprosy and a paralyzed man. Revealing his compassion and divine authority, he responds to the leper's plea with healing and instructs him to follow the law. Later, he forgives the paralytic's sins and heals him physically, astonishing the crowd and challenging the religious leaders. These miracles highlight Jesus' power to restore both body and soul through faith. I think many of us, we can think of a time when we broke something. Like, come on, you've either dropped a glass. When I was a kid, I felt like I broke a lot more things than I do now, but I still, all of a sudden you'll be loading something into the dishwasher, crash, and you won't even know where it came from. How about something fragile? We see these things, we've done it, we've experienced it. And so now I'm not going to get into that childhood guilt that you had after you broke something, whether it be a lamp or a vase or a vase, however you're going to pronounce that. That's going to be for a different sermon. But what we're going to get into is the brokenness of the vessel. The brokenness of ourselves. That cup, that vase, that porcelain doll. I think of the things that I've broken now. We have broken these things, but what about people? What about those things that we've experienced in our own lives? Maybe people around us have experienced that. Experiences in sin. Experiences in hurtful habits. Experiences in bitterness. Experiences in selfishness. Pride. This is also indeed brokenness. Imagine a beautiful ceramic vase, once whole, now shattered. Pieces on the floor. Now most of us, we think, get rid of it, throw it away. But one beautiful illustration that I found this week was, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, it's called kintsugi. It's a Japanese art form that takes brokenness and restores it. Takes a broken vase, and not only do they fit it together with glue, or, I don't know, what do we use, crazy glue, PL premium. They don't use these, they use gold. Pure gold. And not only do they do the cracks of that vase or that bowl that was broken, but then they fill the inside with refined gold plating. What a beautiful and powerful illustration that is. And as you think about that, in verse 16 we have this verse, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Now why would I throw that in there? It doesn't really seem fitting. But you think about it, when Jesus draws back, when he goes into those places to pray, when he's talking with the Father, when he's pleading before the Father, it's about that brokenness. It's about that perfect creation that was made, that is now broken through sin. And Jesus would surrender that. We picked up Levi from camp this week. He was at Camp Nudimick, and he had a blast. I think he went through all of his clean clothes in one day, and so by the time we got back, he had a bag full of dirty clothes, and dirty clothes he was wearing, but he had a blast, and got to experience the love of God through his campers, through the messages, through having fun with others. But as we were sitting in that chapel, and as many of you have probably been in that chapel before, there's a cross at the front in that chapel, and in there, there's all of these little broken pieces of glass in that cross. And I don't know the whole story behind it, but as I was preparing for this message, and as I was in this frame of mind, what a powerful image that is, to think of our brokenness brought to the cross. And not just the cross, but what was accomplished on that cross. That Jesus truly makes brokenness beautiful. And I hope you get the picture. This is the picture that Jesus is praying about. Then that's what Jesus does in our lives. He doesn't discard brokenness. He doesn't discard it. And so now we're going to springboard into this, these two accounts in Capernaum. Springboard into this. Remember, Capernaum is in many ways the kind of the base of operations for Jesus at this time. And the way that Luke is telling it, this is where we're starting it off. So there's many of these illustrations, these stories, these happenings that come out of Capernaum. And so, in Luke 5, we meet two men. One is covered in disease, and the other is unable to walk. Both are broken, but they encounter Jesus, and they don't just get healed, they're brought back into community. They're brought back into purpose, and they are rejoicing in belonging. Verses 12 and 18 and 19, so because of these kind of two stories side by side, we're going to be working through them all, but we're going to be kind of working through them in parallel. So you'll see some verses that are here and there and everywhere, but it's because we're working through these in different dynamics of the story. In verse 12, while he was in one of those cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. Both the man with leprosy and the paralytic man are broken. They're socially isolated. This was not an easy place to be for them, and they're spiritually burdened. We see that in these scenarios, but we also see it in people around us. Broken physically, broken spiritually. And I don't think we need to go far to be familiar with this brokenness that we experience and see. Brokenness, a condition in which something is badly damaged and unable to continue to work in the proper way. Brokenness, a state of strong emotional pain that stops someone from living a life, a healthy life. Sin is brokenness. Selfishness, pride, and I mentioned these things already. These are brokenness. But here, what are these men experiencing? The brokenness is real. And we look at it. Brokenness isn't just the physical. It's in the emotional. It's in the relational. Brokenness is the state of being. But it comes with many, many dynamics of experience. One of the defining characteristics that I love about the Gospel of Luke is he is interested in portraying truthfully the marginalized. Truthfully people. He gets the emotion behind what is going on. Whether that be in the social outcasts, whether that be in the sick, and women in society. Luke, and I don't know if that's his heart as a physician, as a doctor, he's concerned with the emotion of what he is telling. But he's also very concerned with the truth and the details and how it is laid out. He writes in a certain way that cares for people. And that's why these stories, these ways that Luke tells it, it's not written in a way that you would read a letter to the churches like Romans or Galatians or Philippians. You don't dissect it in the same way. There's theological truths, but there's a great deal of emotion to take the narrative, to take the story as a whole, and to see the parts of it, and to see the ways that God is moving. We must read, we observe, we interpret, and we apply. Anyway, when it comes to leprosy would put people outside the community. Leprosy, as many people have come to see it within Scripture, is kind of an umbrella term to some diseases that were obviously involved in, some diseases that they wouldn't have understood, diseases of the skin, diseases that they wouldn't know were contagious, diseases that they knew were contagious. Leviticus 13, 45 to 46 describes lepers as ceremonial unclean. They would be outside the community. And leprosy has been seen here as something that would put them outside, but they were also required to do certain things. They were required to wear torn clothes so that everyone would know. They were required to let their hair hang loose, to cover their mouths, to cry out when they were anywhere near anyone, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine that? In your own life, to be crying out, unclean, unclean. They lived outside the camp, but in the community. What about the paralytic? Not in isolated quarantine, but like the leper, completely dependent on those around. Yes, broken in sin, and in need of forgiveness, but physically unwell as well, and unable to meet Jesus on his own. He's carried by his friends. He was unable to reach Jesus on his own, and his friends led him through the roof to find Jesus. They led him through the roof. And like, you kind of think, okay, well, maybe there was a hatch, or maybe that. No, but in this sense, they were so desperate to get around the crowd. And so, I mean, I'm always curious about these things. What would it look like? And you look at the construction of these ancient houses. You would have a bunch of logs. You'd have some clay within there. You'd have a lot of branches. But then to finish it off would be these tiles. So this is likely quite a scene when these men started to remove the tiles and make their way through. They were obviously damaging the roof, but it would be easy enough to be repaired. But this would be quite a sight. And here it is that the story develops. These men are coming before Jesus in their brokenness, knowing that he can heal. Sin is an area of brokenness. Not all brokenness is sin. Luke 5, 13, 20, and 24 to 25. So we move on. And Jesus stretched out his hand, and he touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who is paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. Jesus, he doesn't run from brokenness. He reaches into it, and oftentimes redefining that brokenness. Oftentimes looking at, we talk about Jesus coming, we talk about the kingdom, and oftentimes it's kind of an upside down kingdom for the rest of society. Jesus comes, and what does he do? Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about weakness being strength. weakness being strength of all things. Society says weakness is failure. They do. We don't have our lives together. We struggle with certain things. The only thing is that we try to hide it all inside. But yet Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Grace isn't something that we can achieve. Grace is something that Jesus gives freely, and that is where the healing comes. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Also, society, you're unclean, you must be excluded. You're unclean, you're sinful. You are excluded. And what does Jesus do? He touches the leper. He touches the leper. A radical act of love and restoration. He doesn't just heal. He dignifies. Shares that value. That sacredness of life. That sacredness of love. Jesus sees faith in action. The paralytic's friends tear through the roof. Their faith is persistent. He's looking at the hearts of these men in it. And Jesus responds not just to the need, he responds to the faith. It's not just to the need, not just to the miracles, but to the faith. I think one of the most tragic characteristics of our current society is the confusion around brokenness. The confusion around brokenness, to see brokenness as helpless, to see suffering as just something to get rid of. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 came resounding to my mind as I think of that. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid of the brokenness around him. He's not afraid of the sin that he saw. But he saw the need. Continues to see the need. And we've experienced this. I apologize. I even had it for you up there. But just such a powerful verse that we need to remind ourselves we have our Savior who journeys with us on that road. We have our Savior who looks at the heart of us, who looks at the brokenness, who feels that emotion, who created us and wants to restore. And we're going to move on, because true belonging comes not just from healing, but being made whole, and that is to follow. Luke 5, 14, 21 to 23, and he charged them to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? He charged them to tell no one. That's kind of an interesting thing. Why would he charge them to tell no one in this? Jesus saw that his miracles were gaining a lot of momentum. People would come and they'd see the powerful works of God. They'd also see his saving power in those miracles and how he would come alongside people. But he didn't want people to be distracted by the physical healings and by those. He wanted people to have a change of heart. He wanted people to realize that the brokenness they had was really in sin that they had. And so that's what we must continue to think about. As we come here, he's talking about these religious leaders, these Pharisees, the ones extremely educated with everything in these scriptures, the foretelling of Jesus coming, the foretelling of someone who will make all things new hundreds of years beforehand. And now this prophecy is being fulfilled. These Pharisees are supposed to be the ones welcoming Jesus in, supposed to be continue to teaching about the fulfillment of where Jesus has come from and why he has come. And yet, they're caught up in traditions, they're caught up in this is the way it has been, they're caught up in their own knowledge that they refuse. And that's where Jesus says, I'm concerned about your hearts. True belonging involves an examination of our hearts. I don't know if I've told this story. I probably have because it's one of my favorite stories of when our little Levi, who is now 8, was little and he was going around and he was playing doctor. Put on his little hat, have his little doctor bag. I don't know if he'll be a doctor. He's got too big a hands to be a doctor, I think, already. He would go around, he'd have his stethoscope, have his little blood pressure armband, and then he'd go up to different people and talk about their different ailments. So one time we're sitting in the living room and visiting there, and great grandma is sitting off to the side, and this is my special grandma who has just passed away recently. And in all of this, Levi comes up with his stethoscope and goes up to great grandma, listens for a while, and we're all quiet because we want to see what he's going to say. Sits there and listens. Grandma, well, he says, great grandma, you have a broken heart. And you know, as I talk about that, and sometimes I chuckle a little bit, but our hearts are broken. And that grandma that he put his little stethoscope to had lost her husband of over 55 years, had also realized her own sinfulness and her need for the Savior, that we are broken. Those simple truths that resound in us. What wounds am I carrying that Jesus wants to heal? Who in my life helps me feel truly seen? And how can I do the same for others? Though Luke here, he's retelling, he's giving details, he's capturing the moment, he is sure to include the compassion of Jesus. That in the midst of this miraculous healing, the Pharisees, they're standing right beside them and looking on. And what are they doing? They are these well-versed, they know exactly what's going on, they know the rules that are maybe being stretched here. And Jesus continues to show compassion, to show love, to check in with what's really happening in the hearts of those being healed. The hearts of those being healed. As he heals the paralytic, first of all, he's healing the heart. That he is forgiven of sin. Our hearts, to think about our own sinfulness, to think about the ways that we have been separated from God, to think about the things that we experience, to think about the things that people around us experience. How are we showing the love of Jesus beyond borders? There's a deep-seated joy that comes with belonging. We're going to continue on in Luke 5, 14 again, and 25 and 26. And he charged them to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. And immediately he rose up before them and picking up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they were glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. The healing of Jesus, as Jesus walks with us, as Jesus walked with these men in their healing, there is great joy that gives purpose to life. The healing of Jesus leads to restoration in community. The healing of Jesus leads to worship. Worship in our prayers. Worship in our giving. Worship in song. Worship in praying for others. The leper, he's welcome to now rejoin society. Told to show himself to the priest. Show himself to the priest. In this, there must have been a great degree of boldness that he calls him to go there and to explain this great act, but no longer an outcast. The paralytic walks and praises God. Public transformation leads to public worship, and the crowd is amazed. And Jesus, he doesn't just fix us. He places in us a new story, a belonging to the kingdom, which means being loved. It is a new story within us. And I think one of the things that we are called to, one of the things that is most powerful in our lives as we journey with Jesus, as we share the brokenness, as we look at the brokenness in others, is to tell that story. Is to tell the story. Share it with others. Walk through that brokenness together. Don't just wait till you're in your last days to do that. Share with the people around you. Share with your family. Share those hard times that you came through. Share the hard times that you're going through. Share the release and relief that happened when you gave your life to Christ and those stories. One of the greatest privileges that I had in my young years, I was had the privilege to be a long-term care chaplain. And I was able to come along and listen to stories. Listen to stories in people's lives. Listen to life lessons. Listen to hardships. Listen to unfathomable griefs and loss. Sometimes it was just sitting in silence and being present with each other. I've gotten to sit with people at the end of life. I've gotten to talk with families as they process the loss of a loved one. And by no means, I am no expert on any of it, but I'm a pilgrim on a journey with those around me. And one of the most beautiful things is that we would share our story of Christ in us with others. That as we would see the healing from that brokenness, as we would see what Jesus has done to transform us, that we would be able to tell others about that. There is no greater encouragement to those, and there's no greater a healing process than giving and being bold in that to share, this is Christ in my life and this is what he has done. No, it's not perfect. Yeah, I've failed a bunch of times along the way, but this is my journey, and I continue to look to Christ in that. That is where that healing is going to come. Brokenness without belonging, brokenness without Jesus, is an epidemic all on its own around us. This is because people choose not to surrender. They hold on to things so tightly that they don't want to share any of that, that no one will ever understand that it eats away inside. I can't think of a more destructive method of brokenness than to hold on to something so tightly by yourself that you will not surrender it to God. Christians are not immune to it, but there's hope, there's healing, and there's purpose in the kingdom of God that Christ proclaims. And that we would surrender the greatest condition of all. That we would surrender the greatest human condition, that brokenness that Jesus prayed would be fulfilled in his coming, that brokenness of sin. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but, and yet, we can't leave it there. Yet, Romans 3:24, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ on us when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in past times. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus Christ. Even when all earthly things have been taken away, the joy of belonging gives purpose because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus, he welcomes the broken. He welcomes the outcast. He welcomes those who are dependent on him. And I hope that our takeaway from this morning is that Jesus touches the untouchable. He forgives the burden, and he welcomes the outsider. Whether you feel spiritually paralyzed or emotionally isolated, Jesus meets you where you are and draws you into community, purpose, and grace. Belonging begins when we see ourselves the way God sees us. Broken, but made whole, and loved, and chosen. So I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions for myself as well this morning. As we have journeyed with this, as we have journeyed with what brokenness looks like, and so many of us, all of us, are familiar with what that looks like. Many shapes and forms. But in our lives today, I'd like us to identify one area of brokenness in life. And that may be shame, fear, addiction, or loneliness, and bring it to Jesus in prayer this week. Don't hide it. Let him in and grow from it. And as the local church, may we be like the friends of the paralytic. Who in your life feels stuck or isolated? Reach out. Reach out to these people. Reach out to your neighbors. Reach out to that family member who you think, no, that relationship is just gone and done. Reach out. Invite them to church. And maybe if that's not the, to pray for them. And if that, to just simply listen to people. To check in with the people around us. And not just a hi, how are you, which is great. But if someone says, you know what, it's been a hard week. Oh, my week was okay. Check in. Time is such a precious thing, and to invest in others around us that we can be an encouragement because of the healing that we have received in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your message of hope in our brokenness. Lord, that we are restored, that we are made new, that the old has passed away and the new has come, not just because we're good people and doing everything right, but that we find our hope in you. Lord, that by nothing that we have done, but by what you have done in our lives, God, that that would be an encouragement to those around us. Lord, I challenge all of us this morning that we would use our story of Christ in us, that we would share those hardships that we've come through, that we would be vulnerable. And Lord, most of all, that we would be vulnerable and sensitive to the ways that your Spirit leads us each and every day, that your presence is here with us, God, and we thank you for that. We rejoice in it. And Lord, that in all that we do and in all that we say, that we would glorify you most of all. And in your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'll call our zangers forward, and we'll close with one song.
One day Jesus sent some disciples out to preach the gospel, and they came back rejoicing, saying, "Even demons are subject to us." Jesus said to them, "Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven." We're going to sing a hymn in closing, "A New Name Written Down in Glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. A new name written down in glory." I'll get my tongue straight yet, just a minute. A new name written down in glory. Let's stand as we sing. Yeah, okay.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.